following message was recorded at Faith Fellowship St. Pete in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.
Good morning. We are so thankful you're tuning in online with us today for our Sunday celebration. You can access the sermon notes and study questions as early as 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings. These digital Sunday celebrations during the season will be much like our face-to-face times together. They will open up with a song, announcements, a time of praise and worship through song, prayer, and a weekly message. These digital times together may also include testimonies. Thank you for the Children's Church feedback, as the weekly Gospel for Kids videos and lessons will now be available on Saturdays so you can have time to prepare in advance. The Cross Training and Centerpoint Life groups will be uploading their weekly overview and Bible study questions as well. We're excited to share that we've added an online giving option as well as an FAQ page. Our church homepage continues to be the best place for you to visit for updates. We're in prayer for each of you as you journey through this season with the Lord. Thank you all so very much for listening to the announcements. Let's continue in worship.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see that God, you're there, a mighty river through the nation, and young and old will turn to Jesus.
after night. Dawn is there. Dawn is there. And after Jesus Christ, who is
Well, good morning, Faith family. I want to start off by saying how much I love and miss each and every one of you. I am so looking forward to us getting back together again. I want to mention that some have asked about communion. We will definitely be having communion together and having everything together. We're going to celebrate our reunion and our time back together again, centered around the glory of God, His Word, just the love that we have for Him and each other. As far as when we're gathering, obviously some of that is still to be determined, and we will definitely notify you by email and ideally in the previous Sunday's recording. But please, please stay connected with our website for updates, for frequently asked questions and their answers, for new opportunities, and so, so much more. I want to take this moment to thank both Bron and Steve for their tireless effort and all of their ministry. Their ministry has really been so incredibly impactful and necessary, and they've been so diligent and faithful to the Lord in this time, and we're so thankful for each of them, and so thankful for you. So many have asked how to give during this time, and so I want to mention that we have added an online opportunity on our website, both on the public page, and for those that are members, you can sign in to our database, and there's additional opportunities, debit card on the public page, and both debit card and checking account availability on the on our church community builder as you log in and sign in. If you need more information on that, all of that's available on our website. But above all of that, please, please, please stay connected to Christ through His Word and in prayer. Find creative ways to love and care and serve each other in your community, your neighborhood, your neighbors, your friends and family during this time. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You for this incredible opportunity to declare Your Word. And Father, thank You for the provision of the World Wide Web for this. Your Word can go forth around the globe and that You can minister to hearts and lives, not even just today, but in years and days to come. And so, Lord, I pray that You would just glorify Yourself in this, that You would use this frail vessel in order to do Your glorious work. And Father, that You would minister Your Word in and through our lives and in this moment, that You would teach us and You would plant Your seed of Your Word deep into our hearts, and that You would render it faithful and fruitful, Lord. We know that Your Word never returns void, but always accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. Father, I pray that it would judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts today, and that it would minister to our lives, that Holy Spirit, Your ministry of comfort, counsel, and conviction would flow forth in these moments. We thank You for all that You're preparing to do in our lives. Transform us now as we sit before Your Word, sit at Your feet, Lord Jesus, and listen with attentive hearts and a posture of obedience. Would you teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in the last chapter of the Gospel of John. If you can believe, it's been a 16-month journey for us as a church family. We started in January of 2019, and here we are. And I love how this fell over the Easter week, and it really kind of helped us to really dig in and dive into just the sacrifice, the love, the surrendered love of Christ. The faithfulness to the Father, his declaration of the Father's love for us. And then we got to celebrate a couple weeks ago the resurrection. And I wanted to say that I'm looking forward to our next sermon series. That will be announced next week. I'm very, very excited about it. And so I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but it's going to be, it's pretty exciting. So looking forward to our next book together. Here we are in chapter 21 of John, finishing up this, this glorious gospel. And we pick up in verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and He revealed Himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they casted it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Then Simon Peter heard it. When Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the full net of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught or just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So verses 1 and 2 kind of set the stage, kind of give us the backdrop of this beautiful piece that has been such a blessing to me over the years and has been such a joy to prepare for. I'm so excited to share what the Lord has given me on this text today. So in verses 1 and 2, the stage is set this way. It says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way." So one of the things we need to remember, as Rob did such a fantastic job last week of unpacking the appearance to the disciples, not once but twice, the second time for Thomas's benefit. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread is over, and it was time to go home. So now they're back in Galilee, and they're looking to do what they did before they were called to this glorious mission to finish what Jesus has started. We remember that prior to their return to Galilee, Jesus breathed on them in his first appearance to the disciples and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. So he had given them the Holy Spirit. He also commissioned them. He said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." He had given them the mission to finish what he had started, and he had given them the power to do it. And he gave them the ministry of forgiveness. The gospel has been given to them, yet here they are, turning back. I've titled today's message, "Don't Go Back." Don't go back. Jesus ministered to Thomas intimately, and now he's about to do the same thing for Peter. So the first verse opens up with some interesting pieces. It says, "Jesus revealed himself." The Amplified said, "Let himself be seen." I love that. And he did it again. So now this is the third time that he's appeared to the 11 disciples, or 10, arguably first, and then 11, and then again here to 7 of them. And aren't you thankful for his patience and his persistence that he reveals himself again? Well, we find out that this is by the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Gennesaret, depending on your language or audience. This is where he told them to go and to meet with him after his resurrection. And here we are. He reveals himself, it says, in this way. The Lord is so intimate with us. and knows us so well, he comes and reveals himself, as we'll see in this text, uniquely to us and personally to us. Verse 2 continues with giving us those that were there, the seven disciples. It starts off with Simon Peter. Thomas seems to move up the list, called the twin. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. And then the sons of Zebedee, known to us as James and John or the sons of thunder. But these are Peter and Andrew's fishing partners. And two others of his disciples that are unnamed, for a total of seven. And that backdrop leads into this. And I'm so excited about the pieces that the Lord has given me to share with you today. One thing I'm going to ask you to do is please take out some paper if you need to pause the recording to do this, and grab a pen, because there's some really rich insights and applications that the Holy Spirit has imparted. And I don't want you to miss any of that. Please have your Bibles ready as we navigate through his word. We are in John 21. I'm picking up here again through in verse 3. And in a moment, we're going to look at Luke chapter 5. So in verse 3, the narrative continues with Simon Peter saying to the other six guys, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Man, this sounds so incredibly familiar, so familiar. But in Luke chapter 5, one of my favorite texts is where Jesus calls James and John and Andrew and Peter. And this offers such an incredible backdrop to our text today. So I read for you for the first 11 verses of chapter 5 of Luke. And it says this. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him being Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter, obviously not by any, like, on purpose, which was Simon's, it says just Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, now just kind of think about this for a moment. There's this massive crowd and he's finished giving this, I'm sure, amazing teaching. And right after he's finished, in the midst of this giant crowd, he says to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Well, one of the things we understand in the text is that they fished all night and caught nothing. We know that that fishermen often fish at night because most people are wanting to buy fish first thing in the morning. And so this has been the practice of those that fish the Sea of Galilee for centuries. And so they fished all night, caught nothing. I would imagine they're tired, they're exhausted, they're a little discouraged, and they're mending their nets and preparing to go home, possibly for a nap or whatever. And it says, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." I'm sure this is the very last thing that Simon wanted to do. And I'll mention this later, but I think it's interesting that Peter is giving that Jesus is giving a professional fisherman in Peter kind of direction on when to fish and where to fish. But Simon Peter in verse 5 answered, "Master." Now, I want you to take note that his nomenclature for Jesus or the title he gives him changes as he changes, speaking of Simon. It says, and Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, nothing. But at your word," don't you love this? "But at your word, I will let down the nets." "Because you said so," the NIV says. "And when they had done so," I love this, "when they had obeyed the word of God, when they had done so, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled their partners," talking about James and John, the author of the book that we're looking at today. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But and it's interesting, Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no longer calls who we know as Peter, Simon anymore. He calls him Simon Peter. Something has changed in Peter. Simon has become more the Peter that God knows and has called him to be. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Now, you know, initially when you read this text, you think, well, Jesus is sending him out to deep water. And you would expect Jesus to be on the shore, but he's not. He's in the boat with them. Because whenever he calls us into the deep, he goes with us. So they signal their partners. They fill both boats. The boats begin to sink. But when Simon saw this, if a professional fisherman saw this type of catch, he falls down on his knees saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. He's not calling him master anymore. It's Lord. For, it says here, for he and all who were with him were astonished. These are lifetime fishermen. They're arguably their father, Zebedee was surely a fisherman, James and John's dad. And they're astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't miss this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him, followed Jesus. One of the things we see in this passage is that when Peter becomes keenly aware of who's in the boat with him, that this is no longer master, but Lord. He is the one that can author fish to consume two boats to the point of sinking. When Peter, and I love that Jesus speaks our language uniquely and intimately to us. Like when Peter sees this, he is not overjoyed with the catch. He is absolutely overwhelmed by the holiness that stands in the boat with him, that the author of life, the God of the universe, the Messiah is in his boat. And he says this, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And somehow in that confession, much like Isaiah's in Isaiah 6, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. Somehow in that confession, he's ready to be a fisher of men. Well, let's go back to our John text. We have to see that because it speaks so much into today's passage. So in verse 3, it says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. That had to seem incredibly familiar, right? From something about 3 years earlier that we just looked at. But I'm going to unpack some of these components from each of these texts that really spoke to me. The first part of that verse 3 text is, I am going fishing. I am going back to what I know. Man, have you ever done that? Have you ever had an encounter with Jesus? Had him change your life, its direction, its purpose, its plan, its mission, its heart. Like, and have you ever gone back to the old? Man, it's so empty. It's so hollow. It's so dissatisfying. It's so convicting. When we go back to our old life and its ways, it's fruitless. It's empty. Even more so than before, because we've tasted the goodness and satisfaction and peace and contentment of God. See, much like the day Jesus revealed himself to Peter and the others, calling them to leave their nets behind, to follow him and be fishers of men, this was going to be a morning that they would never forget. I've got a question. I've got a bunch of questions for us throughout our time together here, but here's a question. What was Peter looking for? Well, what was he looking for as he went back to fishing? Was it purpose? Was it provision? Was it pleasure? Was it something to take his mind off things? What are we looking for when we go back to our old, familiar, I can do this life, this faithless ways? What are we looking for? Is there anything wrong with fishing? That's another question I had. Is there anything wrong with fishing? Of course not. The question is, why is Peter not fishing for men? The Lord redirects our activities to fruitful efforts that have eternal value. Question, what is he redirecting in you? What is he redirecting you to that it might have kingdom, eternal purpose? What is he redeeming from your past? Often when we are walking in guilt, like Peter, maybe regret and shame, we lose sight of Jesus and his calling. But Jesus, don't you love that? I love when we get to a passage, often in Paul's epistles, where it shifts with those words, but God, but Jesus. But I wrote this, but Jesus is so faithful to seek us out and reveal himself to us in very intimate ways. Man, he talks fishermen to these boys. Don't miss this. What we need at this moment is to be reminded of his presence, of his power, and of his purpose. And I promise you, you'll hear that again. What we need to be reminded of in these moments in life is his presence, his power, and his purpose. And that's exactly what we see here. That's what Jesus does. He reveals himself. He demonstrates his power over creation yet again, and then reminds Peter of his purpose. Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. The others say to him, we will go with you. Here's some thoughts. We have to steward our influence well. Peter obviously had influence here. He had favor. They were going because he was going. Man, there are people that are going to follow us in our lives. We have to steward the influence given to us well. It's said of parents, what you do in moderation, they, speaking of your children, will do in excess. So I have another question. How are you leveraging the divinely appointed influence and favor the Lord has entrusted to you? All of us are given influence, and often in increasing measures as we steward it well for the glory of God. I don't think Peter was even thinking about his six brothers at this moment. Unfortunately, Peter was wrapped up in Peter. What about you? What about you? The antidote here is not to be thinking about others, though good and helpful. He needs time with Jesus. That is where we are reminded, we are restored, and we are refreshed. We need time at his feet. Apart from him, we can do nothing. See, we are deceived if we think that going back to our old ways will satisfy. And we are actually in danger of leading others astray as well. But here's the good news. Jesus is forever faithful. Faithful. This verse 3 goes on to say, but that night they caught nothing. Have you ever thought, I don't know, this just love this thought. Came to me as I was just meditating on this passage. Have you ever thought that our famines are a blessing? Have you ever thought that? Some of you might be in a famine right now. I want you to write this down. I'd ask you to take out paper and pen, but this is one of those moments that I want you to write this down. Famines are the Lord's way of revealing an empty path. I'm going to say it again. Famines are the Lord's way of revealing an empty path. Often we are so wrapped up in ourselves and our desires that we can't even see it. Speaking of the empty path, then the Lord blesses us with empty nets. so that we might turn and be reminded of his presence, of his power, and of his purpose. Man, I see that as being the big idea in this passage. Jesus comes and, man, it makes me want to cry. He brings his presence to us. Think about what Jesus went through in order for his Holy Spirit to indwell us. His power and his purpose. Verse 4 goes on to say, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. I think it's interesting. It says, just as day was breaking. Sound familiar? God's timing is perfect. Peter denied him at daybreak. Also, we see that Jesus stood on the shore. Man, I'm so reminded that Jesus stands on the shores and doors of our lives calling to us. Revelation 3:20 says this, behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Man, John, just 11 chapters earlier, John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep, Jesus referring to his followers, his bride, the church, says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Do you see the common denominator there? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. This is a beautiful picture of intimacy. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. We hear. That's the unique parallel here is we're attentive to his voice. And I know them. Don't you long to be known by him? This is the criteria when he comes back that depart from me for I did not know you. Another piece that stands out in this particular verse in verse 4 is yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. I mean, we know based on verse 8 that he's about 100 yards off, so it's not a great distance. I mean, it's a football field, right? Much like each of the other resurrection sightings, they're unaware of who he is based on his appearance. Mary Magdalene thought he was a gardener. He appeared behind locked doors to his disciples twice. I mean, on the road to Emmaus, two of his disciples walked with him for a great distance and did not recognize him till later he breaks bread with them. And they remember their hearts being warmed as he unpacked the word. Verse 5 goes on to say, Jesus said to them, children, really what we would understand him to say here is, boys, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. Thanks for bringing it up, by the way. Do you think that Jesus knew the answer to his question? So then why does someone ask questions they have answers for? Well, if we go back to the garden, why did God ask, where are you? Did he not know? Of course he did. He's calling us to self-introspection. It's a test. See, teachers ideally test us to help us understand and reinforce the teaching. Jesus was the greatest teacher. Ultimately, Jesus is reminding them of his presence, of his power, and of his purpose. So I have another question. If Jesus knew they had no fish, why point it out? My humble thoughts, I believe it is God's grace to show and remind us how empty our old ways are. I think that's God's grace. Then he directs us in his mercy to turn to abundant life. Verse 6. He said to them, cast the nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some, speaking of fish. So they casted it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Later on, I would say the quality of fish too. Verse 11 tells us there was 153 large fish. So part of the text that stands out for me, he says, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. I've always wondered, why would professional fishermen listen to a man on the shore And what difference does the other side of the boat make? Have you ever thought that or asked that question? Well, my thought was desperate times call for desperate measures, right? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a desperate place? It seems like Jesus always ministers to desperation. When life seems empty and fruitless, these are often the times that we move in desperate ways. I've often heard people say, I guess all we can do is pray. Why is he often our last resort rather than our first response? Man, if you're writing stuff down, don't miss this. And this had to have sounded strangely familiar to Peter. Yet when we are in this state, we are often forgetful of God's faithful resume too. I mean, how could Peter be oblivious to this statement, cast your nets to the other side of the boat? But when we're in this state, don't we often fail to remember God's faithfulness? I think that's why Jesus calls us through communion and throughout our lives to remain in a mindful posture, a thankful heart. Goes on to say, so they casted it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. I mean, Luke 5, as I read earlier, says, when they had done so. Here it says, so they casted it. What's the parallel? What's the connection? What's the common denominator? Obedience to God's word. They did what Jesus asked them to do. Man, the scripture is full of promises related to obedience. One of my favorite verses, mine and Jimbo's, is, whoever has my commandments, has them, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. You know, I had a thought for a moment here that, you know, the love languages, you know, physical touch and acts of kindness and help me, acts of service and quality time and gifts, all those things. Man, I if you hear what he says here, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Jesus' love language is obedience. And he who loves me, he says, this is Jesus' words, will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and listen to it, don't miss this, and manifest, reveal, or show myself to him. Man, that's exactly what Jesus is doing again for the disciples. He revealed himself to them. He reminded them of who he is, the God of all creation. And now they were not able to haul it in because the quantity of fish. I mean, 153 large fish. Malachi 10. I love this. The Lord gave this to me literally, like it just poured into my mind the moment I was studying through this. Malachi 3:10, as it relates to giving and tithing and you know, blessing the Lord, Sabbath even, tells us that on the other side of obedience, that he will pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. On the other side of obedience, that he will pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. Man, we serve a good daddy, an awesome father who loves to bless his kids. Verse 7 continues, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, you know, we look at verse 24 later in this chapter and he identifies himself, but that disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard John's declaration that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped. He wasn't naked. He was just his outer garments, stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Threw himself into the sea. See, John said to Peter, it is the Lord. Well, what a marvelous thing. He says this, it is the Lord. See, we're so desperate for community. We're so desperate for each other. We desperately need others to point us to Jesus, to remind us of his love and faithfulness and grace and mercy. We need to point each other to the Lord. We need to, especially in those moments where we feel like we've failed and fallen short, where we're being riddled with guilt and shame, especially in those moments. Peter's response the first time was, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Now he runs. No, sorry. He swims to him with radical surrender. It says he threw himself into the sea. This is actually a beautiful picture of repentance. Beautiful picture of repentance. So when Simon Peter, the verse continues, heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself in the sea. Such a perfect response. He was all in. He totally different from his previous experience. What about you? What about you? When the Lord stands on the shores of your famine and failure and reminds you of who he is, whose you are, and what your purpose is, how do you respond? Remember our Revelation 3:20 passage? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? Verse 8 continues by saying the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the full net of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. The other disciples came in the boat. Man, think about what that's saying. Peter's example and influence led them to Jesus. He actually turns and it makes this profound difference as far as his example and influence. Why? Why? Because he turned and radically sought Jesus. That's why his influence changed. That's why his example was positive. John 21:9 continues with this. When they had got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Man, I remember when I first was given this insight and how it really blessed me. If we go back just 3 chapters, it says this, speaking of Peter coming into the high priest courtyard, following Jesus at a distance. And here's Jesus on trial being mocked and brutally treated, punched and accused. And Peter starts to deny him. And this is a description of that environment. It says, now the servants and officers, this is John 18:18, had made a charcoal fire. Man, that's the only place in the scriptures we see it. And here it is again in John 21:9. It says they made a charcoal fire because it was cold and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them standing and warming himself. Here in our text today, it says when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire. Man, Jesus recreates the scene right down to the details. Why? Why? To remind Peter of his sin? No way. No way. To redeem it. To mark that moment in his past as paid in full. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful that Jesus comes in, reminds us of his redemptive work, declares to us that it's paid for, and reconcile us back to his mission and ministry? Jesus came to reconcile Peter, to restore him, and to remind him of Christ's presence, of Christ's power, and of his purpose. He turns his tests. That's what he does in these moments. He turns his test, Peter's test, into a testimony. He turns it into a testimony, and he'll do the same for us. Verses 10 and 11 continues. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter. Now, it's interesting here. It says, Jesus said to them, almost speaking to the other 6 guys, or maybe to all 7. And it says, some of the fish that you have just caught. And it goes on to say, Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. It's just like fishermen to count their fish. Right? And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Man, here's some thoughts. Jesus asked them to go get the net and bring some fish for breakfast. And Peter jumps up in radical obedience. When we experience the ministry and love and grace of Jesus, it ignites a passion for obedience to his word. Have you ever been there? Man, for me, when I'm just walking in this abiding rich place with the Lord, man, I just want to do everything well unto the glory of God. It just calls me to a righteous standard. And it's a passion that the Holy Spirit bursts in our heart to do it for his glory and to do it with a glorious standard. I see this in so many of the members of our church family as they sit at Jesus' feet, as they find his word faithful, as they get ministered to in the moments where they're just desperate for grace. I see so many of, in fact, just today, I had a brother text me and say, man, I just want to do whatever is needed to minister to our church family. What can I do to help serve and minister and love our church family? Man, that's the heart that God wants. Man, love God, love people. He wants us to move in that mission. As Peter went back and saw this audacious catch, man, I had to use that word. As Peter went back and saw this audacious catch, he had to be invigorated. I mean, he comes running back over and now he sets his eyes on this catch again. He had to be invigorated and reminded that he's loved and not forsaken. See, the nets weren't torn. And I think that reminds us that there is always protection in the Lord's provision. Always protection in the Lord's provision. In chapter 21, verse 12, we continue. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, this sounds a whole lot like Revelation 3. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Man, it had nothing to do with what he looked like. Everybody that had an encounter with the glorified, resurrected Jesus, Savior, Lord, his appearance had been transformed. The glorified body was put on display. See, we put way too much emphasis on appearances and externals. Jesus said it this way. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, he says, you will recognize them by their fruit. As I mentioned earlier, his glorified body was different. It had been transformed. It was a picture. He was the firstborn among many brethren. And finally, verses 13 and 14. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Third time. That had to be helpful for Peter. This had to have reminded them of the feeding of the thousands, the 4,000, the 5,000, the multitudes, and many intimate meals together, but more importantly, of the call to faith that Jesus wanted them to have. As I close, I have some questions for you, and I really want you to search your heart and give the Spirit room to investigate your life. And I ask you these questions. Are you walking in guilt, shame, or regret? Do you find yourself trying to cover up, blame, or hide like our predecessors in the garden? Are you not walking out his call or his mission in your life, but you've gone back to the old, or you've not embraced the future in faith? Do you find yourself turning back to your old ways in difficult moments? Or are you experiencing a famine in your life? I think the counsel is the same. Turn to Jesus by obeying his word. Trust his plan and pattern for your life. Get in Christ-centered community. It was so necessary for John to speak those words, for Peter to be reminded. Open the door and swim to the shore of his loving grace. Open the door and swim to the shore of his loving grace. In other words, dive in to an intimate relationship with Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that always reminds us of your love and grace, always points us to how desperate we are for your finishing work in our lives, for you to come in and remind us of your presence, your power, and your purpose. So Lord God, would you take this moment, this ministry, this your word, and would you continue to seed our heart for transformation, that we would not just merely be hearers of the word only and so deceive ourselves, but that we would do what it says to your glory and fame. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the story of a runaway, no way home and no way out. I threw the best of me away. I had my chance, it's too late now. Too far gone and too ashamed to think that you'd still know my name. But love refused to let my story in that way. You didn't wait for me to find my way to you. I couldn't cross that distance, even if I wanted to. You came running after me when anybody else would have turned and left me at my worst. Love moved first. Relentless grace would chase this rebel down, crawl into this prisoner's cage, take my hand and pull me out. You knew I couldn't make the change, so you became the change in me. And now I live to tell the story of the God who rescued.
Thank you for listening to this message from Faith Fellowship, St. Pete, in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.